To doubt him now. I've gone too far. I'm too far gone.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's revealed himself too much to me.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Happy to be here. Amen. While you were down in South Carolina, I went on a little field trip myself. My mom invited me to her church. Okay. It's United Methodist. Uh-huh. I grew up in that church, and five of the old people that are left used to be my Sunday school teachers and catechism teachers. And it was their 60th anniversary. They've been open 60 years. Oh, wow. Yeah. And I think I started going there when I was like 4 years old. Uh-huh. And then when I was 16, I left home, and I left that church and never went back. Except for that Sunday. And I couldn't believe it. A woman preacher, women deacons, and altar, it's not a boy, it's a girl. I guess they call it an altar person now, who lights the candles. That used to be my job. But back then they called them altar boys.
Right. Yeah.
And but everybody was really nice, and a lot of them people I grew up with, and you know, a lot of them used to be my Sunday school teachers. The old people, they're in their 90s. They're more or less the ones that run the church. Uh-huh. And her minister's trying to get the draw young people in there, and she's trying to change the music, and the old people don't like it. They like the old hymns. They don't like casting crowns and all that.
Right.
So they're having a fit, but they're... You know, there's no one mind there.
Right.
You know, here there's one mind. That's right. What I love. Amen. One mind. Right. Everybody agrees.
Right.
If you don't agree, get out.
Right.
Simple as that. You know, but I was sitting there, and they had some good music. You know, the piano player, he's gay, and which is fine. You know, I don't care. But I was sitting there, and compassion moved over me, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to let every one of these people in.
Yeah.
God gave me that power.
Right.
Amen.
I'm going to let them all in because most of them I know.
Right.
So they were good to me. Now I'm going to be good to them.
Right.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So it was an experience, you know. Then my mom called me up 3 days later and said, well, what do you think? I said, oh, Lord. I said, well, it's not for me. I said, but you're happy with it, so stick with it.
That's
you know,
right.
You went this, I said, you've been here 60 years, Mom. You might as well go on the rest of the way out
right.
with it. But it's not for me because, you know, what I found satisfies me.
Right.
What I found gives me strength.
Amen.
What I found, I won't find anywhere else.
Right.
And she goes, okay. So, you know, she thought I was coming there to judge her church and put it down and all that. And I said, no, I'm not there to judge. I'm here to have a good time.
Right.
So, you know, and I just thank God for the word.
Amen.
You can't make me doubt it.
No.
You can't talk me out of it.
No.
You can sit there and tell me it's a lie all you want, and I'll laugh at you.
Right.
When I was working, I had some of the strong Pentecostals at work try to tell me this was wrong. They called me Brandonite and everything else. And I said, say what you want, but, you know, when it comes to the end, we'll see who's right.
Right.
So I just wanted to share that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Chris, give us a report.
I just want to get up and give a praise report.
Yes.
The scan came back for her with no cancer.
Oh,
praise
God.
Amen.
Thank God. I'm thankful for a body of believers that got behind me. Pray. I appreciate it very much. And she just has some kind of a cyst or something. So it should be something
Amen.
Minor.
Amen.
But I concur with this brother over here. The word we get here takes care of everything.
No worries.
Amen.
Every battle, whatever comes up
right?
in your life, the word that is preached and taught here will get you through.
That's right.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
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 Thank God for truth.
Amen.
You know, I was talking to somebody here the other day about, you know, different things, problems, you know, fleshly problems and things like that. Had to apologize. I guess I overstepped a little bit. Hurt some feelings. And I was just being me. And I told him, I said, well, I'll meet you in the middle. You can be you. I can be me.
Right.
But I'm not coming all the way over your side. I'll meet you in the middle. I'll stop me being a little bit if you stop being you a little bit. You know, this is how this works. But, you know, the Word of God is so beautiful. It just gives such a balance on everything.
Amen.
And you can, you know, like Brother Branham said, you know, you can differ from somebody as far as east is from the west.
Right.
Never have one feeling in your heart.
Don't change your mind.
Because you understand everybody.
Right.
Amen.
You know every man you meet. You know exactly where they're at.
Right.
And and it's just so simple. Now this same fella, he's arguing with, well, the two son-in-laws arguing, you know, and no, they didn't handle this just right, and he should have known better, and you know.
Amen.
But come right down to it, it's nothing.
Right.
It's just simply nothing, you know. The problem's gone, but their feelings aren't, you know. And I think, Lord, thank you for a revelation.
Amen.
And thank you for an understanding that I can just laugh and go on.
Amen.
You know, it probably, you know, you got your two families. They're both tore up about it.
Right.
They're both, there's a wedge between them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, Lord, why don't we just believe you?
Yeah.
You know, I was telling Jimmy right before we come in, you know, they're talking about the good things that the world has, you know.
Right.
You know, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights.
Right.
You know, and everything this world has right comes straight out of the Word of God.
That's right. Amen.
The few things they have right come straight out of the Word of God.
Amen.
And it's so beautiful and so tickled to have such an understanding, such a balance, you know, and that I know every situation. I know what to do. I know what not to do. I know how to keep myself in line.
Amen.
You know, or I know how to get myself back in line when I get out, put it that way.
Amen.
You know, I know how to deal with my own flesh.
That's right.
And I just so appreciate that, because that gives me a peace. I can come back, and like Sister Dawn said one time, you know, it's like hitting that recenter button on your GPS.
Yeah.
You come back here. You get looking too much, you'd write down at every little, you know, too far ahead or something, you come back and say, no, this is where I'm at.
Right.
And this is where I'm going, and this is the little blue line I need to follow.
Right.
And that would get me where I need to go. I don't need to see the end of the
journey,
like Brother Branham said about that guy holding that, trying to tell him what faith was about, you know, and he was after church, and he said, well, I just can't have faith, you know. So, well, where you live at? Up over the hill. He said, well, you can't see from here. No, but I know it's up there. Well, you believe it's up there. How are you going to get there?
Right.
It's dark, you know. Well, I got this light, and I know the path that leads
right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got to do.
Right.
He said, now that's faith.
Amen.
Something you can't see, the very evidence of the thing that you can't see.
That's right.
And I'm thankful it's this way. I've learned it. You know, faith's hard at first. Faith, you know, you can't see it. It's hard to put faith in. It's hard to rely on it. But when you see him move so much,
Amen.
You know, it kind of moves, like I've said before, it kind of moves from faith into just trusting.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that you have to have faith, have to, you know, strain to see it, but you just trust him.
Right.
Because he's led you every step of the way so far, you know, and he's going to lead me the rest of the way home.
Amen.
And I'm thankful. I don't have to know what's coming down the road, because he'll lead me right through it. I appreciate this so much.
Amen, Brother Dustin.
Page 210.
Can I testify?
Sure.
I just want to get up, and I just want to thank God for my healing.
Yes.
Because, you know, he's real.
Yes.
And I just want to put that testimony out there.
Amen.
because God has healed me 100%. And you know, the doctors, I might have to go back on oxygen, but that's a lie. And you know, that blind man sat in that barber chair for a long time.
Right.
And he, you know, they made fun of him saying, I thought you were healed. Well, I am healed.
Right.
And I don't know when God's going to completely manifest that healing. And I must have other people to meet. But my lungs are healed.
Amen.
Regardless of if you see oxygen in my nose, I am healed.
Right.
And don't feel sorry for me because I am an overcomer.
Amen.
And I believe God and I know who my healer is. And I know, I just know this word is true.
Right.
And I don't major on that minor. You know, I know something greater than that. And you know, if I never get it on this side, I have a body change. And the rapture is right ahead and it's the only thing on my plate. And I just want to give God praise because I believe it. I believe it.
Right.
Amen.
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 I just wanted to stand up and be, then identify with this body because I love this word, you know. And brother, you said something that touched me. But you were talking about they couldn't figure out what song, you know, the older generation likes. You know, the hymns, and the younger generation likes all the new stuff, you know. But when you base it on something that's temporal, that can change, you know,
Amen.
Everybody has their own thinking, you know. Right. You got to die. And, you know, I love what we get here because
yes.
It's all centered around the Word,
Amen.
You know.
Absolutely.
And the Word's the most important thing. And what we look at is the desire in a person.
Amen.
And that's what I've learned how to do here by eating this Word, eating this message, just being able to look at the desire, look beyond that veil in every person in here, and you'll see God. You know, if you just
Amen.
Look right past that flesh, right past that soil, it's just dirt anyway, you know. Different types of dirt all over this place here. But it's what's
Amen.
On the inside of the inside
Amen.
That matters, you know. And I've been kind of going through some respiratory stuff. I don't know what it is, but for the last couple of days, it's just been really hard to breathe. So I don't want to leave the same way I came tonight.
Amen.
So I'm just going to speak it off me because, you know, something John told me. He said, yeah, I got all these things that I'm holding on to. I'm going to take it to pastor. I'm going to dump it right on pastor. So I'm like, okay, that's what you've been doing, huh? No wonder you're a little lighter, you know? So I'm going to bring it here and here you go, brother Moore.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. What a God we serve.
Amen.
Page 210. Splendor of the King. And we'll get him up. Jay gets a little antsy. You gotta turn your lips.
Sister Michelle.
Yeah.
Yes, I just want to thank God so much for being here and for the revelation that we get when we're here. It's such a balance in our lives, and I'm just so thankful for it. I mean, and all I want to do today is just say thank you, Lord.
Amen.
That's all I have in my heart is just thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm so grateful for everything that he has done in my life, the peace and the rest, and all I can say is thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
The splendor of the King. How great, how
Song. I'm glad to be here tonight. Appreciate the testimonies. Appreciate this body. I want to sing the song called When I Think About the Lord. How He Saves Me. The part that I was just choked up about all week was how He raised me. And the verse goes, He filled me with the Holy Ghost. And He healed me to the uttermost. Let's sing that. Let's sing that. Key of D, I think. Oh, D, I think. When I think about the Lord. help me. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me. How He's raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and He turned. Feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all shout, hallelujah.
and all the praise.
Heavenly Father, we come here tonight just as humble believers, excited about the word. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to get together with a group of believers that are here for one purpose, to hear from you. Lord, we come expecting. There's been some prayer requests, and there's been some prayers answered. Lord, thank you for answering those requests. And Lord, we're going to hold and expect you to fulfill the rest of them. Lord, we got brothers and sisters that need a touch from you. We know that this word can do it.
Yes.
We've seen it. We believe it, and we have a revelation that you will always move, that you hear this bride. Lord, we got bride in Florida. Touch them. Lord, we got bride in South Carolina. Touch them. We got Brother Trevor. We got Sister Dawn. We got the Earlys. We got the Brinkmans. We've got Kara. Lord, just touch this body. And Lord, I don't want to forget Sister Anna. I'm not going to be satisfied until I see a full deliverance of what we've asked, Lord. Lord, tonight we come with a message. I'll open it up and let you just have whatever you want, Lord. And that's what we want, Lord. So bless the services. Let it be edifying to the saints. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here tonight. There's a card in the back. I wanted to make sure you guys are aware. There's a card in the back of the church so we can sign it to thank Brother Jerry for building the pulpit. I appreciate what he did there. He built it out of solid oak. If you haven't got a chance to see it, at least check it out. You got a chance to. It's in the back there, so look at it so you can know what you're thanking him for. And then in the sister's restroom, he built that cabinet there as well. So appreciate all this hard work that he did, and that was just a labor of love. He asked to do that. So, you know, nowadays it's hard to get people that you pay to do stuff. So it's for somebody to do it voluntarily is, you know, you guys know, it's just any work in general. You can't even get a sandwich, and there's not even workers there. So for somebody to volunteer to do it is pretty amazing. So appreciate Brother Jerry. That's our brother, so I appreciate him. And I'm just glad to be here tonight. You know, I was thinking about that and thought, you know, we preach hard here. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat that. We preach the truth here. And not a lot of people want the truth. And that's just the nature of the beast, and that's always been that way. You know, you think about as good as Jesus was, he had 12 disciples, and one of them betrayed him. You know, so, you know, as miraculous as the miracles that he did, Brother Branham had different things. And any prophet of God, you know, they were not always accepted. You know, as a matter of fact, this is not even accepted in their land. It says that in the Bible. So we can't expect for the church to be packed and full and all those kind of things, and we can expect certainly that, you know, as the more the truth gets preached, more people are going to walk away from it. That's just the nature of the beast. But I was looking at I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was thinking about my life. I'm just doing my testimony now. Y'all took all the time in the beginning. But I was just thinking about, you know, just naturally, I've been so blessed to be able to come to this church. You know, how God set it all up. You know, he set it all up. You know, and I'm a 40-plus-year-old man with kids, house, cars, and that kind of stuff. And I know the pressures of having those things, and that, you know, to have a mortgage, to have a job, to manage those things, to be able to do that with a family, that takes some work. And, you know, there was a time when we were coming up that, you know, however you want to describe it, my dad didn't have it altogether. You know, we were living with my grandma, and, you know, four kids living with a grandma in a two-bedroom house. I don't know how you describe it. That's poor. You know, we were broke. We didn't have it together. He was bad at a lot of stuff, you know, managing money, getting jobs, all those kind of things, whatever. And God saw fit to get us here. Amen. We came from Dayton, the middle of Dayton, the ghetto of ghettos. And it was terrible. And we come here to Fairborn. And he put me beside the church. I mean, you know, as a kid, you don't even know how beneficial it's going to be. And you don't even know that somebody was carrying you when you couldn't walk. You know, so just to see what God did for me in that, you know, I'm so grateful to this place. And that's just in the natural. And that stuff can fade. I mean, the house can fall down and I could move different places. Those things can fade. But because I was there, I got the word.
That's something that you can't take away from me. Oh, my dad can come and go to church. My brothers can come and go and go to church. My friends can come and go to church. That doesn't change what I got now. Now, jobs can come and go. Houses can come and go. Those things are temporal. I praise God that I had them. But I got something now that nobody can take away from me. Oh, I got something that's eternal, that no matter what comes or goes, what highs or lows, I got something that is never changing. This just gets better. This just gets better. And that's why, you know, that's why sometimes you look at somebody that walks away and you go, how? How? What were you eating that made you want to walk away? But then you got to understand that God had to give you this. God had to reveal this to you. God is the only revealer of the word. I can't explain it enough. Oh, I'll read some scriptures tonight. Oh, I'll read a quote tonight. I can try to break it down to you. I can take time with you. I can pick you up on Sunday morning. I can drive you when you don't have it. I can feed you when you're hungry. But if God don't reveal it to you, I'm sorry. I just can't help you. I just got to praise God for me. You know, it's something like this. It is one of those things that this is like swimming. I use that example a lot, but this is like swimming. When you really know how to swim, I want to be in the deepest of waters. I want to be in the deepest of waters. I want to be in the ocean. When you know how to swim, you want to be in the deep water. When you don't know how to swim, you know what you want to stay at? Right there by your eye level. You don't want it to go over your head because you can't handle it. But I can. I want to get in the Word. I want to go in the book of Revelation. I want to talk about controversial things. I want to talk about serpent seed. I want to talk about predestination. I want to talk about it. Tell me more about how I'm signed, sealed, and delivered. Why? Because I can handle it. I got something on the inside of me that just loves the Word. Oh, you can't get it hot enough for me. You can't go deep enough for me. I know what it is. Oh, you want to talk about the ages? Let's go talk about them. You want to talk about a prophet? Let's go talk about it. You want to talk about what happened in the garden? Let's go talk about it. You want to talk about the group that had their name on the book of life? Let's go talk about it. Oh, none of this stuff is hidden from me. I'm not afraid of any of it. Take me where you want to go. I know how to swim. See, you know what happens is in the Word of God, some people don't know how to swim, so they want to stay on certain things that they can control. But I love that we got a balance on all of it. I got a balance on hair. I got a balance on dressing. I got a balance on homosexuality. I know that just being heterosexual don't get you to heaven. Just like being homosexual don't hold you out. I got to balance that having a dress don't make you worthy. I got to balance that having long hair don't make you a Christian. I got to balance on all of it. See, you don't get this kind of balance just sitting at home. You don't get this kind of balance without some preaching. You got to have preaching or the Word. They said, find you a man that is preaching it word upon word, precept upon precept. Guess what? I found me a man. Oh, he said, all that the Father hath given me will come. I couldn't have stayed in Dayton. I couldn't have stayed away. I was obligated to get this. See, I can look at it all. That's what, I'm just so full of what it takes to get the job done. See, because Pastor Moore, you preached about one coming of the Spirit, and that is a very tough thing for some people. Why is it tough, Brother Jay? Because it takes all the work out. That's why it's tough. It's tough because it removes everything that the church world thought they could put on you. Because what? Because when you say that God can't come and go, that messes it up. They don't have a balance on the fact that, wait, what do you mean God doesn't come and go? He comes to stay. He annihilates that old soul, and he is there to stay. Yeah, see, the church world will have you believing that God can come and leave you. But that's how they balance out when you're not living up to their code of rules, is that God has left. That's just an excuse. That's their way of twisting the truth. God didn't come and go. I could be a terrible person and God is still here. I could not pay my light bill. God is still here. I could not wear some pants and God is still here. Once you get a revelation, God ain't going nowhere. Because flesh and blood can't reveal this to you. But see, here's what I like. I like it when we're talking about inverse. Because you can talk about one side of it, but you got to tell me the other side. If flesh and blood couldn't reveal it, then that means flesh and blood can't take it away. See, because everybody likes to talk about flesh and blood didn't reveal it. Well, what does that mean? That means you can't take it away from me. My bishop can't take it away. My ministry can't take it away. If you're preaching something contrary to what I'm saying, Let it be a curse. That's what Paul had to say. He had a revelation so strong. Matter of fact, Paul even said, if I come back myself and tell you any other thing, curse me. That's a revelation. That's somebody that heard from God and said, I know this is the truth. Oh, my, my, my. So let's get started in here because I'm excited. We've been preaching the truth for a long time. You should be a strong Christian in this thing. You know, see, Brother Jeremiah, he said one thing the other day. He said, shall and should. He was talking about his programs at work, and I really like that. That shall and should. He's, shall is a must, like a requirement. It will happen. Should is preferred, right? I'd like it, you know, hopefully. It'd be nice. You know, we're dealing with Jada, and she's thinking about colleges and stuff. Colleges and jobs and all those kind of things, and they have, like, prerequisites. They got preferred, then they got requirements, right? You've got to do this. Don't even worry about all the other stuff that we'd like you to have. We'd love for you to have years of experience. We'd love for you to know how to handle QuickBooks or Microsoft or whatever their preference are. Those are preferred. But one of the things might be saying, you got to have a degree. That's a requirement. That's non-negotiable, right? That, and we understand that when we're reading a job application, when you're reading any of those things, going to college. But when the Bible says you must be born again, why do you keep thinking of something that's preferred? Like it's a maybe. It's a requirement. You must be born again. That's a shall. That's not something that you can, that's not up for discussion. That's not up for debate. That is something that has to happen. It's got to happen. Jesus said it to Nicodemus. And I think sometimes we overlook the fact that Nicodemus was a good person. He wasn't stupid. He was a learned man. He was a teacher, a scholar. His daddy's daddy was good. They were all good. And they come to Jesus and said, we got to do it. Jesus said, you must be born again. And because he didn't have a revelation, he couldn't make it time make sense. He had to twist the truth and go, should I be go right back in my mother's womb? If you did it, Nicodemus, you'd come out wrong again. You gotta, that soul's gotta die. See, so when you look at all these things, and let me read a scripture, because I'll get beside myself. And I know I'm talking to believers, so I know you already believe me. But this goes out of the message, so we want to make sure we give a reference. But over in Matthew 16, Pastor Moore preached from here as well. Matthew 16, verse 16 and 17, it says, and Simon Peter answered and said, let me go up a little bit. And Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremias, and one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So that's good reading right there. Now, my title tonight is The Evidence, and I'm going to put this stuff together here because, you know, there's also a scripture over in Matthew 25 talking about the virgins getting ready. You got to have the oil to be getting ready. And why were they getting ready? Because it was a midnight cry. When they had, so you know the story, it was 10 virgins going out there, 5 of them had oil, 5 of them didn't. And when they got out there and came time that they heard the midnight cry, say, hey, get ready. It's time to be ready. The bridegroom's here. It's time to go. Those that had the oil that was ready, they were ready to go. Those that didn't, they weren't ready. Now, that's one scripture there. Then there's another scripture over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 11 says, make your calling and election sure. So what are you saying, Brother Jay? I'm saying that, you know, there are some things in the Bible that's talking about the time of that when it's time to go, that's all you should be focusing on. Amen. And it's nothing more important than when it's time to get out of here. Your job that's supposed to be in that day and that's the most important thing. Amen. And the other part of that that's really important there to catch is that God has to reveal to you when it is your hour, the hour that you're living in. He's got to deliver that to you. Amen. So when you have those things as truths, you know, we understand that the time is late. You got to make your election sure, and you got to have a revelation, which has to be supernaturally given. Yes. So when you have all these things, you go, okay, I understand that. I understand this. But what is the real evidence then? How do you know that you're now ready for the journey? Right. What is it that you can hold concrete and say, I got my oil. I'm making my call and election. Sure. I've been supernaturally touched by God. Right? What's that evidence? Because we'll have it, you'll have you thinking it's going to be all these other things. But the only evidence that cannot be wavered with anything temporal is that you receive and believe every word of God. That's the evidence. So if you're sitting here tonight, and when we're preaching, you say, that ain't nothing but the truth. That's the evidence. Don't make it hard. Don't make it complicated. It's not a study. It's not going to come by your studies. Matter of fact, even Brother Branham said it comes without one sensation. See, that's our prophet. We all agree that that's our prophet. He said it comes without one sensation. So don't tell me about the rustling of the winds. Don't tell me about the clouds coming together. Don't tell me about the radio station turning down just on low. Don't tell me that you were sitting there asleep. It comes without one sensation. And it's got to be preached to you. You can't get this from reading. I don't care if you know all 1,100 message books. I don't care if you got access to the tablet on Google or internet. You got to have a preacher. Amen. So that means you got to recognize God in flesh. Amen. That's the requirement in this hour. How else can you hear it except to be preached? Yeah. So when you have those things going for you, don't let Satan talk you out of it anymore. You got a revelation. See, because this church world will have you thinking, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. Mm-mm. Matter of fact, don't even get lulled to sleep by just sitting here either. Amen. Just sitting here listening ain't mean you believe it. Amen. Oh, there's this movie, and I know it's terrible that I'm saying I watched it. White Man Can't Jump. Y'all know me. I already told you my background. Yeah. He's talking to the guy. He's like, man, I listen to Jimi Hendrix. And he's like, man, you don't listen. You can't hear Jimmy. That's what he was telling him. He's telling this white guy. He's like, you might listen to Jimi Hendrix, but you can't hear Jimmy. You might come to this church and listen, but you can't hear Pastor Moore. You might come in here and just sit around and like to be around some good people. You might just come here and sit around because you ain't got nothing else to do. You might just like being a part of a group. But when the word of God is coming across their path, that is the most important thing. All the singing may be good or bad. The testimony, you may not pay attention. When the word is coming across their path, that is the most important thing in your life. And as a believer, that's our common denominator. That's how you know all the believers. That's the only thing that says, that's the only way you can know a believer. I can't judge about how you treat blacks and whites. I can't judge about how you play an instrument. I can't judge about how you handle sexuality. I can't teach it how you handle your kids. I can't look at it how you handle your job. I can't look at it that way. I got to look at what did you do when the word came across your path. Amen. That's the only evidence. And you will have to agree with every word. So let me tell you a secret. As much as you're enjoying this service, as much as you're amen in the word, there are a group of people that when I'm preaching the word and it's hot as fire, sit there and go, eh. I hear it, but nah. There's a group of people. There's people that come and sit in these doors and sit here, and while I'm preaching word upon word, they'll just shake their head and go, I don't really see it that way. What do you mean you don't see it that way? Let's put you on the stand then. What do you see then? Some see God. And some see a man. Some look at my life. And some see a man. I'm trying to get your eyes off of every man so that way you can see God when he moves. Oh, my. See, because when you got your eyes on other stuff, you're going to be distracted. You're going to be tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine. But I'm teaching you how you can lay down every weight that so easily besets you so that you can just enjoy God in his fullness. Oh, if you just saw Mary and Joseph's son, you didn't see Jesus. If you just saw a carpenter, you didn't see Jesus. But those that saw him and said, I perceive thou art a prophet. Oh, that's somebody that can say, come and see a man that told me all things. See, when you get this water, when you get this evidence inside of you and you recognize it, see, because a lot of times you're going to sit here and you're getting this word, and you're not even recognizing that you're picking it up. You're like, amen, amen. Then you leave. Well, I wish I had more. What do you mean, wish you had more? Yeah. You got everything you need. You just said amen to the word. This thing will make you, what Jesus said to the woman at the well, you'll never thirst again. Yeah, right. never thirst again. I'm so full, I don't have a desire for nothing else. I'm stuffed. I got so much word, I don't want nothing else. Take me to a Nazarene church and I'm just going to wait it out. I'll bless them if I can. I'll praise God that for what they're at, but I'm full. Don't feed me anything. I'm good. I got enough. I got enough. I'm not even looking for something else. Oh, you got to recognize that you got the evidence. When you recognize that you have the evidence, you don't need nothing else. Oh, I'm reminded. I'm all over my notes here, but I'm reminded of a story of David. See this story of David, I hadn't looked at it just like I did now. Let me. Oh, y'all going? I'm going to go to it. I'm going to go to it. It's an Old Testament story, but let me find it. Okay. It's still good. It's in the Bible still. We still believe the Bible. First Samuel. When you guys hear what I'm hearing, you're going to be excited. I promise. Let's go over here. First Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. And we know the story of David. And we talk about it and we paraphrase it for Sunday school and those kind of things. But let's read what the Bible says, and I got a point here. And it says, and he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out the brook. Y'all know what I'm going. See, before this, David had, you know, saw Goliath and was like, I'm going to go down there. That guy's got to go. Like, he can't be defying my God. And they're like, David, let's put on some armor, this, that, and the third. David's like, oh, no, I can't wear this. I ain't never killed nobody with this. This never worked. I don't know if this sword is going to do it. I don't know if this shield is going to help. But I know my sling that took care of the bear and the lion, I know that'll handle it. I'm just going to go for what I got. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down and get 5 smooth stones. Right? And the number of stones represents something. But let's just talk about how the fact that David had more than he needed. He had more than he needed. It doesn't say David swung and missed Goliath 4 times and then hit him on the 5th one. Matter of fact, let's keep reading here. Let's go to verse 44. And the Philistines said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Goliath was a little bit embarrassed that they sent David, a little boy, out to fight him. So he was upset. He'd been out there yelling at him for 40 days. Then said David unto the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, that thou hast defied. This day the Lord deliver thee into my hand. David started prophesying. And I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses to the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. See, we ain't got to fight. The battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened. He ran. He ran, not the other way.
No, he didn't run from him.
He ran to him, ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took hence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine. And the rest of the story you know. One stone. He had one rock. Now that brother in South Carolina, he said, our rock is not like their rock. He said, our rock is not like their rock. My rock of revelation is not like their revelation. I get a rock of revelation. I got something I can stand on for my entire life. I don't got to wibble here. I don't got to shake here. I got something that's going to hold me steadfast and unmovable.
Amen.
This is that rock of revelation that I got. But that rock that David threw, see, the church world will have you thinking, oh, maybe you don't have enough. Maybe you need something else. Maybe you need this. Maybe you need that. No, if David only picked up one rock, he had what he needed.
Yeah.
But just to show you that God is more, he gives me more than I need. He gives me more. He says I'm more than a conqueror. That's just to show you. And I think sometimes when you get this revelation, I want you to understand that you have it all.
Yes.
You got the answer for everything. Because sometimes we'll put a spin on that. God give us our tool bag and we got everything we need. Yeah, you just need one thing though. You don't need to keep grumbling around in a bag. I've been in an army with a rucksack and you got to put the socks one place, this someplace, that someplace. So that way when it gets tight, you can know how to get to it. But I got the word. That's all I need.
Amen.
That's all I need. That'll answer every problem I run into. If I got a problem at my job, whoop. I can fix that. I got a problem with my kids. Woo, I can fix that. I got a problem with me. Woo, I can fix that. The word of God is divides between all that stuff.
That's right.
Oh, my. See, you got to understand that you got it all.
Amen.
The evidence truly is that you can receive the word of God.
Amen.
That is it. That's all you need.
Amen.
Everything else is extra.
Amen.
Everything else is extra.
Right.
Oh, I'd love for you. And we talk about, you know, we talk about the virtues, and Pastor Moore, you mentioned them. And we talk about those virtues, and I'd love for you to have the virtues.
Yeah.
Patience, charity, humility, gratitude, chastity, diligence, and temperance.
Right.
Those are amazing. Those are preferred.
Oh, yeah.
Those are preferred. I'd hope you have them.
Yeah.
Those'd be great.
Yeah.
When you get the word, it can work all those things out.
Amen.
From the inside out.
Right.
Something that can be a permanent fix.
Right.
But if you try to do it on yourself, Don't worry about patience, virtue, temperance, charity without being born again.
No.
Don't worry about those things until you have your election sure. Don't worry about any of those things until you know you got a new birth. Till you're sitting there for yourself that you know that you got this thing.
Right.
Don't worry about anything else. You know, sometimes the church world will say, you know, I've heard people say one time, you're like, oh, I even forget how they say it. I don't even want to be mean about it. But they say, like, you got to catch something to be able to skin it, to do, and it's like, yeah, they're trying to get you in, you know. You talk about the church, they're trying to get the young people. They're trying to entice them,
right?
They want to make the music for young people. They want to make the setting so they can get, they're trying to get members.
Right.
Why do they want to get the members? So they can make little mini Christians and make them all dress the same, make them look the same, make them sound the same, make them talk the same, make them sing the same, make a little bunch of little minis.
Right.
That's what they want. And then what they're going to do is get these hothouse plants that don't have a revelation, and the second they see a problem in somebody, because you got a whole bunch of chickens, you don't have any eagles, you got a groom full of chickens, and the second they see a problem with somebody, you know what chickens do? They don't let them heal. They don't leave them alone. They're not sure for themselves that they're going to be okay. They go, whoa, that's a problem. One chicken to hit them. Can't leave it alone. Can't hit them until they kill them. That's what happened with that's what happened with some of these message churches. They believed Brother Branham, but they were chickens.
Right.
And the second they read through that Brother Branham had a problem in something, whatever it was,
yeah,
they couldn't leave well enough alone.
Right.
They just kept picking, until they walk away
right
from the only thing that gave them life.
Amen.
This message is the only thing that's given me life.
Amen.
This blessed assurance that I have is the only thing that keeps me coming back.
Amen.
Oh, I get tired of myself sometimes. I get tired of all these things sometimes. I get tired of tired.
Amen.
Right? You know, they got that thing, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Amen.
I get tired of myself sometimes. I get tired of life sometimes.
Yeah.
But the only thing that never gets tired, the only thing that always wants the word, is the real me.
Amen.
That's the real me. See, I like to wake it up. I like to let Satan know that's the real me.
Yeah.
Not just the soul.
Right.
That's the real me.
Amen.
That's what God sees.
Yeah.
God doesn't see me sick and tired.
Right.
God doesn't see me down. God doesn't see me depressed.
Amen.
God doesn't see me going through things. He sees a believer that amens the word every single time it crosses his path.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Jay, does it hurt sometimes? Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, getting the rebuke ain't always blessings. If you got a kid, I know they don't love getting whipped. They're not like, oh, I lied. I'll go get the belt. I'll see you in the room in 10 minutes. Is this going to be 5 or 10 whackings? Because I just want to get some sleep, so let me know the number. That ain't what a kid is doing. That's not at all. Matter of fact, you're hiding. Sometimes I got to come and get you. I got to find you. Sometimes you're sitting in the seat trying to not pay attention because God's about to talk right to you. Sometimes you're hoping that you're not thinking something so God don't get right to you. But he's in your mustache hairs right now. God's going to talk right to you. That's what you came here for. You came here to see God. Did you come for whistling in the wind? No, I came to hear from God. Why? Because that's the only thing that's going to get me through. Oh, we talk about all these other principles and all the other things. They help you on this side to live a good life, so to speak. That's it. But this ain't my home. This ain't where I'm supposed to stay. My home is somewhere else. I'm not one of the people that make my home here. This is not my home. Jesus even said it. Matter of fact, Pastor Moore, you even read it over there in St. John 8:23. You said there's two groups of people. He said, I'm not from here. This ain't my home. See, the church world will have you thinking that you got to build this thing up. Brother Branham preached a message about that called Doing God a Service Without Being His Will.
Amen.
Yeah, you're out here doing all these things. As a matter of fact, he was over there talking about how eventually at one point the people wanted to redo the ark situation.
Yeah.
They wanted to praise God and build an ark. But Noah had already came and went.
Right. Yeah.
That job was already done.
Right.
Building an ark wasn't going to do nothing. Brother Branham said, you just grab a big box of wood. It ain't going to do anything. It won't save anybody. You can sit in there all you want. You can praise it all you want. You can sing around it all you want. And it won't help you.
Amen.
Listening to the message of the Pentecost, that's a big wooden box.
Right.
Listen to the message from the Methodist, that's a big wooden box.
Amen.
You got to be in your day and this hour to get any life.
Amen.
That's the only life you're going to get.
Amen.
See, I love it that simple.
Amen.
I love it that simple. Because a lot of times they try to make it like it's 3-4 different groups. It's not. There's a group that's going to heaven. There's a group that's not. There's a group that God loved, and there's a group that he hated. God didn't say three different types when he said Jacob and Esau. He didn't say Esau I liked. He didn't say Esau I'd prefer not to deal with. He said Jacob I love, and Esau I hated. Why? And I'm not even, I know this goes out. I'm not saying to hate anybody. Let me put that out there. You can just judge me for my very work's sake.
Right.
I don't hate anybody.
Right.
You can look at my life. I don't hate anybody. But God does. He said it.
Amen.
He said, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated, before they even exited their mother's womb. So before they did good or evil, their destination was predetermined.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Why was it predetermined, Brother Jay? Because he knew what they would do with the word.
Amen.
Oh, so living good ain't the only way. Living bad ain't what keeps you out. It's what you do when the word crosses your path.
Amen.
Oh, my. There's so many examples in there that just talk about God doing and getting these things done. But the real evidence, saints, is just that you believe the word when it crosses your path. He said, well, Brother Jay, there's people that listen to this. There's people that like this. There's people that you can't just like this church.
Amen.
It's not enough. If you're not born again, eventually something temporal is going to knock you off.
Amen.
It's going to knock you off.
That's right.
And then you're going to walk away and we're going to say, well, I thought you believed this. And I have a reason to even want to hold somebody to whatever they said, because we have an open pulpit. You have an open opportunity. People get up before service all the time. Brother Mike, you see them. They come in here, testify. Say whatever you want to say. Tell God how good he's been good to you. Tell God about how much this message has been blessing you. Tell God how much the body means to you. Tell God. And then the second, one day, now it's no more God. God's not there no more. You don't see God no more. Well, who moved?
Amen.
Who moved? Because before you got here, God was here. While you were here, God was here. And every time you seem to leave, God is still here.
Yeah.
I've seen it year after year after year. People will walk away for 20, 30 years, come back and go, pray for me. Wait, why? Why do you want me to pray?
Right.
Why are you asking for prayer for me?
Right. Yeah.
I thought you knew where God was.
Right.
I thought you heard from God. I thought you followed God.
Right.
But you're coming back to something that's stable. That's unmovable.
Amen.
That stands the test of time.
Yeah.
That's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
That's why you really came here. Won't you just be honest?
Amen.
You know that God's here. You just don't want to live up to those expectations.
Amen.
Oh, my. See, that real evidence of call to you, even when you're wrong.
Amen.
Even when your life's a wreck.
That's right.
This thing is still right.
Amen.
You'd be better off to just be honest and say, I can't do it. God, give me strength, but this is right. You'd be better off. But when you lie and compromise and try to change the word of God to fit your circumstances, it don't work. Because then you're going to have to take something back. You're going to have to take back that God's here or that God ever sent you. Because I've had people say, God sent me this church. God sent me here. Well, then why would he tell you to leave? Why? God told Noah to build the ark. He didn't cut out 30 years in and go, you know, it's taking too long.
Right.
Change my mind. Stop. Get somebody that can do it faster.
Right.
Don't worry about it, Noah. No, he said he found favor with God because he was the only one that believed him.
Right.
To see how the evidence is still the same? He believed God.
That's right.
That was the only evidence.
Amen.
Noah could have took 200 years to build the ark, but the evidence was believe the word of God.
Amen.
Now, he did what God asked him to do because he believed him. But building the ark wasn't the evidence. It was believing the word of God.
Right.
Through the ages, it was believing the word of God. It wasn't that somebody smoked, that somebody did this, the thesis, all that. It was believing the word of God.
Right.
Now, there's other acts that follow, but believing the word of God is the only evidence.
Amen.
In every age. It's the same with every believer. That's our common denominator. Now, there's things, there's traits about other, you know, we work with different people. We interact with people. And I'm only going to use myself because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm a double booker, okay? Got it from my dad. Double book, right? I'm going to see you at 7, see the next person at 8, see the next person at 9. Realistically, it's probably not possible. But I'm just trying, right? Trying to fit it all in, right? Double booker. And I could work with somebody 4 years ago, and they'd be like, man, that Brother Jay's a good guy, but he's double booker. 10 years from now, I could work with somebody, different people, and they go, that Brother Jay's a good guy, but he's a double booker, right? That's a common denominator. These people don't know each other. But they see the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, it would be unwise of me to say those people are lying. Right? I've proven it.
Right.
I've proven that that's what I do. Right? That person sees it. This person sees it. That's a resounding trait. That's my common denominator amongst anything that I'm doing. Right?
Right.
Now, as believers, there should be a common denominator.
Amen.
There should be something that is the same in you, that's in me, that's in you, that's in you. That's just a resounding trait that no matter if I've met somebody at work, if I've met somebody at home, that trait should be the same all the way through. Whether I'm black, I'm white, I'm tall, Republican, liberal, whatever you want to call it, I eat chocolate ice cream, yellow ice cream, banana ice cream, what don't matter. The trait should be the same. That when the word crosses your path,
amen,
you can't help but to say amen.
Amen.
That's our common denominator. That's our common theme. That I that's the evidence. I don't have nothing but good things to say about the word of God.
No.
Nothing but good things to say about the word of God. I can't help but to believe it.
Amen.
Now, Brother Jay, if the evidence is having the word of God and you got that in there, what is making you say amen to every word?
Right.
What causes it? Is it because you've read the Bible so much? Nope. Church bought me this Bible. So I didn't have one before then. They gave me one in Sunday school. I read it a little bit. I love Bible stories. That helps me a little bit. But it wasn't because I know the Bible. I read the messages. I read them now. I read them a lot. I study it. I love it. But that don't make me say amen. I don't draw on my experience of reading through the seven church ages before I say amen to the word of God when it's preached. I don't draw on my experiences on reading marriage and divorce to decide on what I'm going to say amen to when God's talking about me and my wife. I don't draw on those experiences. I don't even draw on the Bible, so to speak, to say amen to the word of God. When the word of God crosses my path, there is something on the inside of me that did, without learning, without teaching, without good, that just simply says amen. And you go, well, Brother Jay, how can you say it? It's a common denominator amongst believers. Because guess what? You could be here for the first time. This could be your first service.
Right.
You could have never heard about the Bible. Could have never heard about Brother Branham. Could have never heard about the messages. But when the word starts crossing your path,
amen,
one time, you just simply say, that ain't nothing but the truth.
Amen.
That just sounds like nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Oh, that's how I can say it. Is that don't come by any of your studies.
No.
Don't come by any of your learning. Brother Branham even said, don't come by none of your rituals,
right,
none of your traditions, none of your denominations.
Right.
This thing comes without one sensation.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
See, don't put anything on that. This is just the evidence.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Moore always says, this is just the facts, man. This is just the facts.
Yeah.
I can't help it that I believe the word of God. And God is on the inside.
Yeah.
Now, see, now that's the kicker.
Amen.
Woo, that's what gets me excited.
Yeah.
That's what gets me really excited. Because when you realize that God is on the inside, that's who's agreeing with the word.
That's
who's infallible. That's who's agreeing with the word. Oh, it's not my flesh. It's not my spirit realm. It's the real me that is saying that is nothing but the truth. Because when you got God on the inside, who can impute sin to God?
Right.
Oh, my. See, when you wake up to that revelation,
amen,
you shouldn't be so easily swayed.
No.
You should be able to look there. And Pastor Moore, when you preached the one coming of the Spirit, I was like, my goodness. He preached the new birth, that you must be born again. I was like, my goodness, those are some strong sayings. I felt like those people in the Bible when Jesus was talking, he's like, you got some strong sayings. Those are harsh. I almost felt like the disciples. I was like, why do you talk to them like that? Why don't you say it like you say it to us? Right? But it's still the truth. Still the truth. I still want it. But it just look at it and go, those are some harsh things. But no matter how hot it gets, no matter how much it preaches, no matter how much God drills it in there, as a believer, since I know the evidence is only saying amen to every word. See, I don't like saying only, but that's really all that required. That's what's required, is saying amen to the word. Since I know that's the truth, I can sit here even when he's preaching me under the bench. I ain't say, man, I got to step up in here. Man, I got to step up there. I could surely do better here. I could surely do better there. I could surely do better there. Oh, you may outlive me. Oh, you may get here earlier than I do. Oh, you may read more than I do, but you won't out-believe me. Because there's only... See, I love this class. This is only pass or fail. It's pass or fail in here. We don't have no A-plus Christians, B-minus Christians, C-minus Christians. It's pass or fail. Either you got it or you don't. See, because sometimes these people get so super saved that everything's all so godly, so spiritual, so out there. So, are you thirsty? No, I'm not thirsty. Jesus filled me. Okay. Do you not want water? You've been out here working all day. You don't want water. Don't be so spiritual. See, because that's super spiritual. Those A-plus believers. But this is a pass or fail. What do you do when the word crosses your path? Oh, you cannot cuss, which is great. But when the word crosses your path, if you turn it down, you might as well cuss. You might as well do whatever, because you're not ready for the journey. You don't got no oil in your lamp. You don't have what it takes to make it all the way. Oh, my. The only evidence is saying amen to every word. See, in the church world, I have you believe it. Well, Fairborn preaches that way, and they just let the people do any old thing. What? Are you serious? I got rebuked on how to walk on a bus. Are you serious? I gave up my whole weekend and get rebuked on how I sit on a bus. You're going to tell me I can do whatever I want? My kids got to sit a certain way. I got to go to work a certain way. I'm expected to be the best employee at my job. I'm expected. If I came here and told you I got fired for being lazy, there'd be a whole problem. Whole problem here. If I was slacking on my obligations, there'd be a whole problem. If I had kids I wasn't taking care of, it'd be a whole problem. If I come in here and just sit in your kind of way, a whole problem. You don't get to just do whatever you want. You do what God calls for. See, the problem is, church world, that you don't want to listen to what God wants, and you're making up the rules. So you're not listening to what God wants. That's why they put all these other rules and doctrines in there, because they don't want what God wants. So to them, they're saying, Fairborn gets to do whatever they want. No, we get to do what God wants. Amen. And since you're turning down God, it looks like I'm doing whatever I want, because you're not hearing God. Amen. But I got clear direction on how to raise my kids, how to live my life, how to worship, how to enjoy, how to respect the sanctuary, how to respect the word, how to respect my elders. Amen. Oh, I get so many blessings. Yeah. I'm led and guided all the time. Amen. What did they say that spirit will do? He'll lead and guide you in all truth. Right. When he, the revealer, has come. Amen. The comforter has come. Yeah. See, that's what we got now. Amen. Oh, I got something a little bit more. So when they say, oh, you get to do whatever you want, I'm like, I don't know what you saw, bub. I don't get to do whatever I want. I don't. I don't. We, none of us do. Amen. If you are, you're not paying attention. Right. I remember being a young person. Pastor Moore come to the house. I remember, Seth, you know. You better not have wrong pictures up on the wall in your own house. You don't get to do what you want. God, you do what God wants. If God expects something out of your life, that's what you get to do. And if God don't care about it, then don't care about it. But if God's calling for something, that's what you better do. Because there's some things he's going to call for you that he don't call for me. It's an individual walk. But the denominator is we're both listening to God. We both listening for the word of God. And every service is for each one of us. God is calling for something. Because sometimes people get in the weeds of that and they go, well, that part wasn't for me. No, all parts are for you. You don't get to pick and choose. That's not your job. That's not your job. He eat it all, right? You're going to eat everything that's served here. Because why? You're required, right? You go, oh, I got a token. How do you get a token then? You got to, that's a prophet's reward. You got to receive the full word of God. Full obedience to how many words? 600-word essay? half of the word, every word. Every word, that's what entitles you to the token.
Amen.
See, because some people get this thing backwards. I got a token. You don't have a token if you're not listening to every word.
Amen.
You got to read the whole scripture.
Amen.
Read all of it, it says. You got to accept the full word of God.
Right.
And as a believer, it's easy.
Right.
Don't try to make, don't let Satan tell you it's hard.
No.
Don't try to make him make it, oh, it's so complicated, so this and that. It's not hard.
Just believe.
God didn't even ask you to do it.
Right.
He said, believe it. I don't have to make the rapture happen. I just got to believe that it's going to happen.
Right.
I don't have to make my loved ones. I don't got to force them and work some kind of way for my loved ones to be there. I believe that they'll be there. The same faith that I have that I'm going to be there, the same faith that I have that they're going to be there. The same faith that I have that I'm going to get raptured. That's all I'm waiting on is the rapture. We say, Brother Jay, why do you guys only preach about the rapture? Why are you talking? Because it's the midnight cries went out. It's the hour. I don't have nothing else to talk about. Before midnight, we can talk about how much oil you're going to put in your lamp. What you're going to do here. What time you're going to go out there. What you're going to do. But guess what now, bub? The midnight cry's gone. It's already happened. It's time to be ready now. I'm sitting there with my lamp full of the word of God right now. I'm just waiting on him now. I'm waiting on him now. And if you don't have your lamp full, go get it filled up. If this ain't it for you, go find somebody that it is. But it better be bringing it word upon word upon word upon word. Oh, you go. You better hurry. That's even what those virgins said. They said, hurry up. Go find somebody that's selling it. Go do what you got to do. You can't have mine, but go now. See, there's too many scriptures that tie into this. I'm going to go over the book of Romans, and I'm going to get out of here. The brothers were talking about that in our little chat, and I thought, my goodness, that book of Romans is great. I was just going to read down there, verse 35, chapter 8. Now, there's a lot of great stuff in there. But just in the interest of time, I'm just looking at this and I go, when you truly have a revelation of what the evidence is, and it ties you into the body. See, there's so many levels to this we can go into. But when you get a revelation, it ties you into the body and you're now made whole.
Yeah.
You're made whole. You're taken care of. When you're tied into the body, justification is taken care of.
Right.
When you're tied into the body, sanctification is taken
Amen.
Care of. That was already done.
Yes.
When you get tied into the body, it's all there.
It's all mine.
It's all mine. You wake up to the fact.
Right.
You wake up to the fact that it's all been taken care of. That I'm a part of it.
Yeah.
See, I'm not trying to go out and get sanctification.
No.
I'm not trying to go out and get justification.
No.
It's already been done for the body.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So when you know that, that's a great blessing. But when you understand that you are a believer in this hour and how blessed you are. See, Pastor Moore, you made mention, you said, if you have a spouse that serves God, this message that's supernaturally given, that God himself has to reveal. If you were blessed enough to have somebody else in your life that agrees with that word, you couldn't do enough for them. There should be nothing that should separate you. Even when you talk about believers in here, it doesn't even have to be your spouse. It could be a friend in here.
Right.
It could be a brother or sister in here that serves God.
Amen.
What do you want me to do then?
Right.
They're believing the word.
Right.
Oh, it's terrible as me and Brother Jim fight. We're always going back and forth.
Amen.
He believes the word.
Yeah.
I can't throw him out.
No.
He can't throw me out.
No.
No matter what he does to me. If he never pays me the $6 he owes me.
Amen.
Right? If he never does it. If he never does it. I can't throw him out. He believes the word. We can't be separated. We're one. We're the body. We're tied together. That's what it should do. It should tie you together as a body that you can no longer separate. These two have become one. See, a lot of times we make it, oh, your spouse. Yeah, but it's your brothers and sisters too. I got that same love for my brothers and sisters. That's my family. And even when we get over there, we're going to be brothers and sisters. So let's read this scripture. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities nor powers nor things present or things to come. See, I like that. I like how it says it, because a lot of times you want to start worrying. You know, my wife tells you about how she worries, and she's like, well, somebody's got to worry. And I'm like, well, you can be the one then, because I don't want to worry. Like, I don't want to worry about it. If that's your lot, take it. You can worry. But you can worry, and you go, well, okay, I'm fine now, but tomorrow. I'm okay now, but next week. No, 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 no. I'm fully persuaded that not things present nor things to come, nor things to come, no height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm fully persuaded that this revelation that I have, this evidence that I have, nothing's going to separate it. Not pearl, not strife, not famine, not tribulation. Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. See, I got something that you can't take away.
That's right.
You know why you can't take it away? Because you didn't give it to me.
That's right.
You didn't give this to me.
No, sir.
This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me.
Right.
This love that I have, the world didn't give it to me.
Right.
So if the world didn't give it, then the world can't take it away.
Right.
See, that's something you can hold on to because you're going to have things in life. Oh, my goodness, we all do.
Sure.
It's called life. You're going to have a job, and you're going to have to work there. It's called work. It's not entertainment. You're going to have to work. You're going to have a boss that you might not like. Who cares?
Right.
In the grand scheme of things, who cares?
Right.
When you're looking at it right, who cares?
Amen.
That's not your real job anyway.
No.
That's not your real job anyway. Your real job is this.
Amen.
Believing.
Amen.
Believing the word.
Amen.
That's what our job is. That's what they're expecting me to do. You think Wesley cares if I work? He don't care. That's not what he's worried about. He don't care about my bank account. Paul doesn't care. We preach what Paul preached. We believe what they believe. That's what we're judged by. That's what all of us are judged by. It's not judged about net worth, bank accounts, or assets. It's saying, what did you do when the word crossed your path? That's all they care about. That's all you should care about. Now, when you go through life, oh, I get it. Sometimes, you know, you go through different things, and we call it the mully grubs, and you know, sometimes you don't want to just have people recite Bible verses to you when you get denied for a car loan or something. You're like, oh. Right? Oh, you guys have all been approved for everything, huh? Yeah. You don't want to have, you know, not get a job or this kind of things, and then somebody comes up and, you know, all things. And you're like, okay, I don't want to hear that right now. Right? I get it. I get it. I get it. I'm a believer, but tell me something else. Tell me another scripture.
Amen.
Tell me about the scripture where if I see my brother without and don't help him. Go to that scripture. Are you not discerning the Lord's body, right? Talk about that. I'm just saying as believers, sometimes, you know, these super Christians, they want to just over-indoctrinate things and all that kind of, and not be real.
Amen.
You can be real.
Amen.
I can have a bad moment,
right.
But as a believer, I know I'm going to overcome.
Yeah.
Oh, all you're going to do is shake me and wake me up.
Yeah.
You're going to stir up my mind by way of pure remembrance of what I really am here to do.
Right.
Oh, if I had a bad day, you wouldn't know it. We're here now in this atmosphere, in this spirit of worship. This anointing is down here. Thank God for this opportunity.
Amen.
You got to have a church.
Amen.
You got to have a church.
Yeah.
You got to have a preacher.
Right.
See, the church world have things so diluted down, you know, and obviously with the world, you know, we've had COVID and all these things, and it's changed even how people work.
Right.
It's changed expectations of work. You know, we had meetings about, you know, flex options and work from home and blah, blah, blah. All these different things to change how anybody even sees work, you know, and they'll do that same thing with church.
Amen.
Oh, well, because of that, I'm just going to stay out and just do my own thing. I'm going to listen to this service on this morning and that one. That's not right. That's not right. Why halt you be true to opinions? If God be God, then just serve him. You don't get to make your own decisions. You don't get to do that. You got to serve where God is at. If God's not there, don't be there. If you know the truth, you should only be seeking the truth.
Amen.
If you know what the word of God is, that should be where you should be sitting down and eating.
That's right.
Why would you be sitting down with the buzzards when you only like fresh meat?
Amen.
You're inviting yourself to eat with maggots when you got fresh manna sitting right here before you.
Amen.
See, you know, God knows what that's for, but a lot of times people will take this place for granted.
Oh, yeah.
Listening online ain't the best option.
Right.
It's not. It should be your last option.
Amen.
If you're planning to listen online and you live close or where you can get to the house, a house, to hear the word of God, you're foolish. You should get to the house.
Amen.
It won't even bless you the same.
Amen.
Now, I remember being in D.C. when we were on a Wednesday. I was out there for work and Mel had the thing service pulled up. It was a beautiful service.
Yeah.
It was great to be there. But Mel lived in D.C., I knew services were going to be different. I was like, this is a good leftover meal, so to speak. Thank you. but I'm headed back to the house. I live in Ohio. I'm not going to be doing this all the time. This is hard. It's hard to stay focused. You got so many distractions, but when you get in here and under that anointing, oh, it ain't hard to stay focused now. It ain't hard to pay attention now. It ain't hard to not let things get in your way now. You got God speaking to you fresh in your face. Hey, now that's a little bit different. God can discern those things. And that's not to say that he won't do it online. I know he can. Oh, I know he can. But he knows the desire of the heart too. Amen. Don't kid yourself and think that it's okay when you want to be lazy.
Amen.
It's not.
No.
It's not. God's not calling for somebody to be lazy. He said we run this race with patience. I'm running this thing. Not walking this thing with patience. I'm running this thing with patience. I'm keeping up with the word of God. I want to be right there locked up. And you go, well, Brother Jay, what are you getting? Oh, I'm just telling you what my pastor said. We can boil it down to nuts and bolts of it. He said, what's his only prescription? Get to the house. That's the one. That's what I'm basing it off of. That's something I don't have to take back. Oh, I can read the scripture and tell you that as you see the day approaching, you should gather yourself that much more together. Oh, I can read those things. I can say where the eagles are. That's where the carcasses is. I can do those things. But I can just tell you present day, 2022. Pastor Moore said, get to the house. That's what God said, present day. Oh, we can read the scriptures as reference. We can read the quotes as reference. But I'm telling you what God said now. He said, get to the house. If you've got a problem, get to the house. If you got an issue, get to the house. If you think you're so holy, get to the house. If you think you don't need God, definitely get to the house. That's his prescription for everything. If life is going good, get to the house. Going bad, get to the house. Oh, I love this. I love the atmosphere that we get in here. I love this anointing that we get in here. I love the fact that you can just be you. Oh, my. You know, there's so many other places that they want you to be somebody else. They want you to dress somebody else. They want to do all these things and not even care about the new birth. Not even care about what really is the evidence. And not even care about the word of God. They just want to motivate you. I don't care if you ever get happy. I don't. That's not my job. That's not what he called here to do. That's not nowhere in the Bible that says I need to do that. Matter of fact, it says the joy of the Lord. That's your strength. That's who gives you the help. Where are you going to get that joy from? Where are you going to get the word from? You got to get somewhere where it's being preached. That's going to take care of everything. If you got depression, now you got a rock to hit it with. If you got laziness issues, now you got a rock to hit it with. If you got problems, if you got procrastination issues, now you got a rock to hit that with. If you need to be pumped up, now you got a rock to hit that with. You got the word of God. That solves everything. It's the cure all for everything. It's the cure all for everything. And people just take this place so much for granted. And it just hurts me because I'm like, do you understand how good you got it? Oh, my. We're speaking babies into wombs. We're healing cancer. We're taking away sickness. We're taking away blindness. We spoke cancer away. That's just in this service. Why wouldn't you want to serve a God like that? Oh, I've seen God turn people's lives around just for them to get good enough to walk away. And I'm like, what in the world? What? I'm beyond me. But they chose that.
Amen.
You're willingly ignorant.
That's right.
Willingly ignorant. Willing. Willingly ignorant. But as for me and my house,
yes, sir.
As for me and my house, my house,
amen.
I'm going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
I understand what this is. I have a new birth for myself.
Amen.
And that thing tied me into the body, and there's so many benefits that come with it.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm just still enjoying the benefits. I'm just reading through the benefits package. I'm going through it like, I get this, I get that, I get this, I get that, I get this. I haven't finished reading them.
No, that's right.
Keep telling me more. I want to know more. Keep telling me about what I get.
Yeah.
Where I get my loved ones? What? Really? Yep, page 2. Go flip over there. You get to see that. You got your loved ones. You get all that loves you and all that you love. You get those. Oh, you get eternal salvation? You get that. You understand you don't have any condemnation? The sin's not applied? You're eternally sealed? You're the bride of the hour. You're the most important group. You're the one that's calling this. You're the last group of the... Come on now. I'm still going through the benefits.
Yes.
I haven't even... You know what? And here's the other thing. I realize that I'm an 11th hour worker.
Yeah.
That means the job is done.
Yes, sir.
Oh, the principles have been laid.
Yes.
The foundation's been set.
Yes.
They've taken care of everything.
Yes.
Oh, I'm almost just like a house stager. Yeah, I already built it. I'm just moving furniture a little bit. I'm like, maybe let's put this couch over here. Let's do that. I didn't put the basement in. I didn't put the windows in. I didn't do the roofing. I didn't stay outside at all. I didn't labor in the weather. I can control the temperature. I can make my atmosphere anything I want. I'm just moving furniture now at this point. I'm saying you, come on over here. You can come with me. You sit right on over there. there. That's all I'm doing now. This is easy.
Amen.
This is the easiest time to serve God. This is the best time to serve God. Oh, they asked Brother Branham, said, Brother Branham, which group would you, what age would you want to live in? What age? If you could choose any of them. He was like, oh, I'd want to hear this. I'd probably want to go back and even hear what Jesus had to say about this. He said, but when it gets down to it, the brass tacks. I want to live in that golden age. This golden age. That's what we live in right now. And on, and I said that in the beginning, the ember. This is the easiest time to serve, and it's the hardest time for people. God is so manifested in flesh, but so many people still don't see him. But I praise God that I'm one of them that sees him, that hears him, that can understand the words and can punctuate every word with an amen. Oh, my, my, my. We're a blessed group. We're a blessed group to have this evidence that nobody can take away from us. This thing ties you into everything. It can make everything simpler. So God bless you. I appreciate you. Come on up, Pastor Mike.
My. Amen. If I didn't think I had it, I have it now. If I didn't think I was ready, I'm ready now. If I didn't think I could go, I'm going now. The evidence. The evidence, the real evidence. The same evidence that's been the same all the way from Paul all the way through. He that can believe the words. Believe. And I was thinking about when Jay was preaching, I thought, my goodness, you know, they want us to do the same old 6 and 7. But really, when you think about it, we should only be concerned with what our day is. I don't care whatever else Luther preached. And he preached a lot. He didn't just preach one message and die and go on, it's done. He preached the just shall live by faith. But he preached a lot of other things too. But the thing that caught Luther's attention was the scripture that said the just shall live by faith. Wesley, when he stepped on the scene, oh, he probably even preached what Luther preached. Because that's where he came from. But then he saw the scripture for his day. And he didn't spend too much time talking about the just shall live by faith. He went into sanctification. His day. And that's what he preached. Every service, every message came back right around the sanctification. And Pentecostal, restoration of the gifts. What did they preach? They didn't spend much time talking about the just shall live by faith. They didn't spend much time talking about Wesley's message of sanctification. They believed it. It was part of it. They walked forward with it. But they didn't spend all their time talking about it. They talked about the restoration of the gifts. When I got in an apostolic denomination, what did we talk about? Signs, wonders, speaking in tongues, gifts. And we spent every service. We preached Acts 2:38 every service. Matter of fact, it wasn't even a service unless we preached it. We focused on our day. And we focus on its message. And if all of that is done, and the body is built, and the church is complete, the only thing left is the rapture. As much as Luther preached to just shall live by faith, as much as Wesley preached sanctification, as much as Pentecostals preached gifts and tongues, and as much as we come all the way up to this day, we're at a point now, the rapture is the only thing left to happen. So what should we spend our time doing? And the evidence of the Holy Ghost is believing every word. The proof that they were bride was that they believed every word up to the point that God gave them for the day that they lived in. They never backed off. They never turned anything down. They ate every bit of it. Brother Branham said if Luther would have lived long enough, he'd be here. Why? Because he would have walked through Luther's message. He would have walked through Wesley's message. He would have got in with the gifts and the restoration of the word. And then he would have ended up at 1744 Superior Avenue. Because nobody else would have wanted him. But because he didn't live long enough, he was depending on you.
Amen.
To get him up. It's a body. The body was justified.
That's right.
The body was sanctified. The body had the gifts put back in it. And the body will rapture. Just like they put their part in the body, we got to put our part in the body. We can't spend much time talking about signs and wonders and gifts and cleaning your lives up and sanctification and justification and restoration again. I believe it. It's a part of it. Just like everybody else believed it down through the ages. But our focus should be on the body change. And the thing that's going to bring it about is the restoration of the word. And the bride's got to believe every word that's proceeding out of the mouth of God now. You can't pick and choose and say, oh, I like this, I don't like that. You got to eat it all. The evidence of who you are is that you say amen to every word. That is the evidence. And I was thinking about when Jay is preaching, I said, now Jay, you're talking about this. I said, do you realize the bride cannot help but to say amen? It's not even something we have to do.
Right. It just happens.
You can't, like you said, it's at your new birth. That's God moved in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Amen.
And God says amen to the word.
Yeah.
It's not you saying amen to the word. It's God saying amen to his own word. And we cannot help but to say amen. I don't have to be afraid someday I'm going to not say amen to the word. I can't help it because he's in there. He is the word. John 1:1. And the word was not only made flesh in Jesus, but he was made flesh in me. And I say amen to the word even if I don't understand it. I say amen to the word if I don't even hardly see it. But it's just in me to say amen to every word. Amen. I don't have to worry about someday I'm not going to say amen. I can't help it because I am the amen.
Yes.
Amen. That's who I am.
Amen.
So that's the very evidence. So we don't have to worry and live in fear and feeling, oh, well, I'm going to have enough. Will someday, you know, Brother Branham said, Satan's got one blow. He don't have no blow on us. He lost his blow when I got my new birth.
That's right.
Because now God's here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter about anything else. When the word comes forth, I'll lead it automatically.
Amen.
People say, how do you believe that? I can't help it. Can't you explain it? No. You know what people get mad at? Is that you can't explain it. They want you to explain it. But see, explaining it is not faith. And faith is a revelation. And a revelation is something that you know. It's not even something you explain. Oh, preachers do it because that's what we're ordained to do. But the laity don't have to know all the seals and the thunders and all the things that God's done and all that was, is, and is to come. All they got to do is say amen.
That's right.
Amen. Y'all got the easiest job there is.
Amen.
I get so jealous sometimes. I think, my God, all they got to do is sit there and just eat, eat, eat. I've been cooking all day. I've been slaving over the stove all day. And you walk in here and just eat, 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 eat. But that's a believer for you.
Amen.
We can't help but to believe the word. Yes. The very evidence of who I am is that I believe every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
It's so easy to be a believer.
Yes.
But you got to come from God to be a believer.
Right.
Everybody can't believe this.
No.
That's what makes us different than the rest of the world.
Amen.
They don't have this evidence.
No.
Come on, musicians. We got clothes. They don't have this evidence.
Amen.
My goodness.
Well, amen.
It's good to be back home.
Amen.
I thought somebody called my name, but I thought it was a man's voice. Did somebody over there say it? Okay.
Since you said that, I wanted to get up earlier and just throw a rock at the devil to say, it doesn't matter what I say on this microphone, I believe this word.
Right.
And I didn't want to leave here tonight without thanking God, because I went all the way to Maryland and came back, and I know it's because of him.
Amen.
And, you know, although I didn't get the clothes of my house or whatever, I know he brought me this far for a reason.
That's right.
That house is going to close. It's in his time. It's not in my
Amen.
Time.
Amen.
And I just want to black that devil's eye. And
That's
say,
right.
I believe it. And right. And on Sunday, I think you said, and I know you said, I don't think it, that you're clean from the inside out.
That's it.
And I'm going to stop worrying about it and
That's
let
it.
Him do what he brought me here to do.
That's right.
And just thank him for this word.
Amen.
That's amazing.
See,
that's
See, the thing is, you take the word that you hear, you put it in your life, and start blacking the devil's eye with it. He hates you to say it. He don't even want you to say it. Say it anyhow. You say you're sick. He says, yeah, you're sick. You say, I'm healed by his stripes. Put the word on him. He says, you don't live good enough. It's his life, not mine, Satan. He says, it's his righteousness. He said, be ye holy. I am holy because he declared me holy. Devil don't know what to do with us. We got too much word now. I keep falling in love with him. I fell in love with him again tonight. Over and over and over and over again. Come back on Sunday and see what the Lord has in store for us again. Amen. That's Jay. That was good. That was quite edible. I don't know what, I don't know. I think we got the best preachers in the world. Did all right, Jay. Nice. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over. And